Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. Today I'm joined by Danish athlete Jonas Strescher. We talk about the flourishing OCR scene in Denmark, where things are in Europe right now, and how he found the recent European Championships. Welcome to the show, Jonas. Over to you.
My name is Jonas. I'm 28. I'm from Denmark. I'm a full-time OCR athlete and a part-time fitness instructor, OCR instructor. Yeah, that's basically.
So you're into OCR, basically. That's a big part of your life.
That's it's close to everything I do.
Really?
Besides eating and sleeping, that's the main thing I spend my time on.
I mean, that's not a bad life, is it? Eating, sleeping, and OCR. I think that's the dream.
Yeah, it's all right. It doesn't leave much time for anything else when you want to do it as much as I'm doing, but I mean, just doing OCR it's okay. It's not the worst way to spend your time.
So it's been a tricky few years in OCR with the pandemic and kind of competitions not happening, but last year you really shone at OCRWC and kind of, I think for the American stage, certainly, it was kind of a bit of an explosion of, hey, this is me, I'm here. So what was your journey before that? How did you get there?
How I got to WC last year?
How did you get into OCR? Where did you start? What's your background?
Oh, shit. I started about 10 years ago. I had a friend who invited me to a local Danish race where we had to dress up for a chance to win tickets for next year.
Mm-hmm.
So we signed up and we did 12K with a lot of swimming. It was basically storm weather. Mm-hmm. And we did it in like almost full tuxedo. We did it in cotton shirts. We had ties on. Just so much fun. I've been doing different kind of fitness my entire life, and also I enjoy running. So it all just came together. Like I got to use everything I was good at, and it was fun at the same time. And we did that 10 years ago, and then I just started running since. I've been doing, for the last 6 or 7 years, I've been doing about 20, 25 competitions a year.
Wow.
And it's only going upwards.
That's basically racing every other weekend.
Yeah, it's close. I've been racing this season so far about 3 months in a row, one or two competitions a week.
How do you maintain that?
I just think it's fun.
But physically, like, how does your body keep doing that?
I'm not that old. It's okay. I'm recovered Monday, and then I start training again, and then we just keep going.
Oh,
it's
I'm
a little
so jealous.
Hard mentally.
It is
a little hard mentally to set yourself up for performance every seventh day, but it's gotten easier, a lot easier. I used to be stressed and unable to sleep and get the whole like race jitter about 4 or 5 days before a competition. Then it's hard to race 3 months in a row when you don't sleep from Tuesday to Saturday. But
well, that's the whole week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got two good nights of sleep Saturday and Sunday, and then we just started over. But it's way better now.
Yeah. And so the competitions you're doing, are they all OCR or do you do other things as well?
I do 98% OCR. We have a few Danish events throughout the year that's a little bit basic fitness, some fun stuff. We did one, I just got back from it today, over the weekend. A lot of strongman stuff, precision. We did a lot of shooting. We did a few basic workouts, and then mix it up with a bunch of obstacles, and that's the most non-OCR stuff I do. It's mainly all just obstacle running.
I mean, I find it quite amazing that there are so many events that you can take part in. in the UK probably about 8 years ago, it was like that. 7 years ago, you could be racing. You had a choice of multiple events every weekend. And now you have a couple a year. Like it's really died back a lot.
The Danish season is absolutely amazing. We have a spring season and an autumn season. And both times a year you can race 3 or 4 months in a row if you want to.
Wow.
I think we have OCR related events. We have about 30, 35 events a year.
Why is OCR so
There's
big in Denmark then?
a lot. I think the main reason is we don't need a lot of people to sign up in order to get an event going. We do a lot of our local events are a maximum of 200 participants, and then the event is then the event is has made enough money that they can make stuff happen. And that of course helps a lot. If you don't need 4,000 people to host an event, it gets a lot easier to host them.
That's crazy. I don't know how they can make events work on 200 people.
There's a lot of local help,
That's amazing.
local companies that help in, and we are a big core of 60 to 80 semi-elite or elite runners that join almost every race. So there's a base of sold tickets already there, and then they just need a little bit more.
So is the competition quite fierce?
With the amount of people signing up for the elite, there are a lot of good men and good females in Denmark. I
I
mean,
mean,
you
we.
could just see at the European Championship, we took podium every time in the pro category. We brought home a lot of medal.
I mean, we see it at OCRWC. We've got you guys, and you always do well, and you always turn up to the events. But it's kind of saying, "Oh, there's a handful of really good Danish athletes," is one thing. But saying, "Oh no, there's a really big scene, and it's a really big competition," like that's a huge amount of elite athletes. We have events in the UK where you can sometimes barely fill out a podium, and it's really sad. Like, I want to see more people running, whether it's age group, whether it's open, whether it's elite, but I really love the competition. I enjoy watching the competition and what it does for the sport. I'm really interested as to why in Denmark it's so good. Like, what are you doing so right that encourages people to take part and can allow these events to happen? I like it.
I think we found a nice mix between the distance we're running, the terrain we're running in, the amount of obstacles and how hard the obstacles are. We make races that people who's never touched an obstacle can enjoy trying to complete, and the event is still hard enough for the competition runners to be challenged. We
That's
do mainly short races. We rarely have anything over 6 kilometers, and that also appeals to everybody.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder if you've never run anything to do 5K than to do a 21K Spartan race or something like that.
I mean, that's actually why when I started, I did a Spartan race over a Tough Mudder because I'd heard about Tough Mudder a lot and I loved the idea. But I was just like, I'm not running 10K. That's ridiculous. I'm not a runner. I've never run that distance in my life. I'm not going to do it. And then I heard about the Spartan Sprint, which was like 5, 6K. I was like, yeah, I could do that. I could do that without any training. That's fine. And it was that short distance that got me into it. Of course, then saying that I did my first race in the Elite Wave, because why wouldn't you? But yeah, I mean, designing courses like that, and this is something I talk about all the time, it's really difficult to do. It's very difficult to create an event that's going to be competitive enough for the elite guys who are wanting to compete without just, bypassing the obstacles as if they're nothing, but make it enjoyable for everyone else, because you do need to cater to everyone. It's, you know, unless you're making purely a fun run or purely an elite competition, you have to do that crossover. It's really difficult.
It is very difficult, and I mean, it's definitely not perfect. I wish everything would be harder, but I understand that that can't happen, or otherwise we wouldn't sell tickets. So there's a lot of acceptance that some of the races might just be easier than we want them to be, in order for the event to actually sell some tickets and then for everyone to enjoy it. But that's part of it. I'd rather the sport kept growing and it got a bit easier than we would stagnate or drop in tickets sold and then make it too challenging for a lot
Yes.
of people.
I think we saw that roughly, probably around 2016 and early 2017, when races started to get a bit ridiculously difficult, and very technical, which I think took a lot of the fun away because there weren't many, certainly in the UK, that there were some really, really good athletes, but they still weren't that up on the technical side. And it went through a period of just, you know, really hard rigs, which is just not, yeah. Not that much fun for everyone. Certainly fun for some people who are very proficient at that. But yeah, you can't push people out of the market.
No, it's kind of hard doing a sport that you want to see go somewhere. I wanted to evolve and get harder and get more competitive, but at the same time, it's not the competing athletes that sell to make sure races happen. So that balance is really hard. I like how the championships are getting more serious. So we at least get a challenge there. But the day-to-day local competitions, they're not going to get harder because then we just wouldn't have any races left.
Yeah, I agree with that. So if you were to run your ideal race, what would it look like?
I like the I have an idea that the perfect OCR way race is divided into four quarters. You have a quarter of the obstacles that's strength related. You have a quarter of the obstacles that's agility related, everything from balance to high walls to, you know, speedy stuff. And then you have a quarter that's rig related. And then you have 25% that you could just divide however you want. And you can put some of the new stuff that's gotten in, precision, shooting, throwing, whatever that might be. So every part of what is required for an OCR athlete is represented enough that it matters. We see a lot of races that mainly do rigs and running. And that really caters to a very specific kind of athlete. And I think it annoys me because I'm not that athlete. So I wish that, of course, it's a bit selfish, but I want all the skills I've spent 10 years acquiring, I want all of those skills to matter. And right now it's a lot of running and it's a lot of hanging. And I mean, that's still fun, but it's 10 hours out of my week, if we're not doing strength stuff. And I wouldn't mind getting those 10 hours to do something else if I didn't have to train for anything heavy. That would be all right.
So what kind of athlete are you then? What's your preferred kind of obstacles?
I mean, I'm kind of a perfectionist and a nerd, so I try to be the best at everything. But seeing my skills, and comparing it to every other athlete, I'm very good at carrying heavy stuff. And not just a 40, 50-pound sandbag, I mean really heavy stuff. I want 150-pound carries if we could have that. But I know that's a very small and very specific skill to have. So I also get why it's not a part of the races, but throwing something heavy on your shoulder and just run or attempt to run is the best thing in my book.
Have you given hybrid fitness a go, like HYROX, etc.?
Yeah, no. I would like to, but my legs are too skinny. I got chicken legs, and they don't do burpees, and they don't do pull-ups, and they don't do lunges. So I want to try it, but I'm not sure I'm with the way I'm training right now that I'm gonna be.
I slightly like the idea of HYROX, but the concept sounds kind of boring to me. A lot of repetitive movements. It's a bit too CrossFitty for me. I did a competition a couple of years ago, which was really good fun. I don't know what the prize money is like, but it's called Superhuman Games, and it was really fun. There was lots of carrying heavy things, throwing heavy stuff. It was divided, and I don't know if they changed it now, but when I did it, it was divided into 5 20-minute games throughout the day. So there was, and you kind of rotated between them. There was a very small obstacle course, very easy, kind of basic military style, and then a speed thing where it's like biking and rowing. Yeah, just carrying and throwing shit, and it was great, and I really enjoyed that. I always keep meaning to sign up for it again, but it's down south, and I just always miss it when the tickets go on sale. But you might enjoy something like that.
Yeah, that sounds a bit more like me. I'm not good at the whole CrossFit concept. I don't want to compete in training. I want to train to compete, but yeah, the other thing seems just a little bit silly.
So talking about competing, we know that you've been doing very well. You did very well at OCRWC last year, but you recently just did the European Championships and you did
Yeah,
really
I did.
well there.
Thank you.
So tell me about it.
Well, the whole event was amazing. It's since 2018, the European Championships has had a very strict reputation for being very grip demanding, and it's gotten better. And by better I mean easier, but it's still hard. We're doing the whole wristband system, one attempt on hanging obstacles, cut a wristband if you don't make it in your first attempt, three wristbands and you're out, that whole thing. And it's, I mean, it's not perfect, but it kind of works. I wish they wouldn't do it, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But the entire event was amazing. So many really interesting obstacles, and I mean, I mostly compete locally, so it's just nice to see some of the other countries, see what they have to bring to the table. It's really nerve-wracking, but I mean, it's what we train for. There's the big events are of course the most important part of being a professional athlete.
So what kind of things did they do right there? Like, what were the things that, because you sound very positive, you obviously really enjoyed it, you performed really well. What were the things that kind of you went away and you're like, that was great. I loved that. That was done really well. This brought me joy.
They, contrary to last year at least, they had a bigger focus on strength obstacles. We had a few long carries. We had something kind of heavy. That was a lot better than last The thing they did the best was introducing something new and giving the athletes an actual chance to try it. They did the laser shooting thing for the first time in European OCR, and the days leading up to the event, they had guns you could try out
That's
and
great.
shoot and get a feel of how it actually was to do the obstacle. And that's nice, because introducing something brand new for a championship is, in my opinion, very disruptive for the competition.
Yeah, especially
It
when it's something you
brings
can't practice at home. You know, it's not like a rig that you can emulate, or it's you've
exactly
literally got no way to practice it.
yeah, it becomes a lot more chance-based, and I really hate leaving things to luck when it comes to competing. But overall, it was a very nice event. I had hoped they did it in Italy last year, and that was a lot of mountains. And I like that it wasn't that much mountain again, but I think we ran maybe 70 centimeters of elevation on this standard course. I mean, it was the flattest thing I've ever seen. And I mean, it's good for the way I train and compete, but it was a little boring.
Yeah.
They integrated, like, we had a little run in the town as well, and that was nice,
That's
and
nice, yeah.
they integrated the place they had available very well. But I mean, we ran around a lake on a big bicycle path, and you can't make that interesting no matter what you do. And
No.
they clumped the they put the obstacles together, like two or three obstacles in a row, run 2 or 3 kilometers, then a few more obstacles, and that's just it's a little weak. It's a little unimaginative to not see the opportunity to spread it out, or to just, I mean, just make smaller obstacles and put them just everywhere. So it doesn't always have to be a big rig or something new people haven't seen, or something very interesting. Like, hurdles work every day.
Yeah, horrible.
exactly, and that's why they work. Just something to disrupt the running all the time. That's, in my opinion, that's OCR.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's, I mean, I think even within yourself, you can have kind of conflicting views of this, of the classics work really well, but we also like to see innovation. So it's kind of making both work. So yeah, keeping in things like hurdles, hills and dips, over-unders, cargo nets, you know, the really horrible things that are easy to set up, break things up and are an obstacle. But then yeah, you do want some fun stuff as well. Again, it's a really tricky balance to get the right amount of both. And
Yeah.
sometimes, you know, I think we're possibly in a phase of the innovation getting a bit silly at times.
I can get super silly.
And you know how I am a huge fan of very simple obstacles.
Yeah.
And sometimes the most basic thing, you know, you can take something. I loved it when we saw Valkyrie, and I was like, rings have always been my favorite obstacle, and now suddenly they're like this, and it's a whole new game, and all you had to do is just change the angle, which we've seen on monkey bars, but now it's on rings. That's really, you know, that's huge. But that's
Also,
was
the ricochet one, where you change it, where you change directions, not just up and down, but going left to right. That's cool.
yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that really, when I see those obstacles, they really excite me. But it's difficult because we kind of have to, you know, it has to be a process, I suppose, or there will be a process of, you know, pushing things and then scaling it back to what works. But yeah, it's, if we had a race that was purely the old school classics, we'd all be like, oh, there was nothing new there. We put too much new in. We're kind of like, oh, it's too fancy.
Yeah.
Again, it's difficult. I always feel the pain of a race director. Like, I don't know how they do it.
It's true. I think we're hard to keep satisfied. Every single country have a different view on what's OCR.
Yes.
And going to building a championship and having to include everyone's idea of OCR is obviously impossible. But I think, like, if we see the how it changed from last year to this year, I think we've gotten closer to something everyone enjoys.
What was it like last year? What were the big differences?
The big difference last year was nothing was hard except the rig obstacles.
Okay.
You could have you had multiple balance beams and stuff like that, but they were wide and they were 2 to 3 meters long. I mean, it was almost just 1 foot on and then you were off again. And some of the rigs were very fun and very challenging, but everyone I talk to in the European OCR sport agrees that OCR is more than rigs, and should be more than rigs. And I mean, of course, it's hard to scale a wall. I mean, at a certain point, it gets so high that no one can complete it, and that's not obviously not the point either.
No.
But you sh it shouldn't just be hard rigs and running. Last year, the hardest obstacle was we were climbing 1,100 meters of elevation of a mountain. And I mean, then we can talk about is elevation an obstacle, or is it something that should decide a race, the course setup? Otherwise, we could see a championship with 3 kilometers of swimming. Is that OCR? Going to extremes in any direction is a little bit disruptive for the general idea of OCR being a little bit of everything.
Yes. I think a little bit of a few things is good. Savage Race just happened at the weekend in Chicago, and there was a really small swim. It was just across a river, but it was a swim rather than a wade. And just in that very, very short swim across a river, it disrupted the leaders massively. And the person who was in front ended up like probably about fifth. He ended up still winning, because he's a very competent runner. But it was really interesting to see how that small thing thrown in there kind
Oh,
of
that's
really
cool.
affected people. It was really good. It was a really good
Yeah.
finish on that race. But yeah, I always have this thought in this conversation about things like terrain and elevation. I think, obviously that's what makes races exciting. I mean, when you said it was really boring running around the pond, I was like, I didn't think elite athletes really had the time to get bored. Like, I know I would get bored, but the whole time I'm there going, oh, come on, friend, keep running, keep running. I always think that you guys just like and not really having time to think. But yeah, it's kind of a conversation. Again, it's that balance between making use of what's there, because otherwise we might as well run in a stadium. But then there's the conversation about standardization. So how do you standardize a course if one of the biggest obstacles is going to be location?
Yeah, the whole standardization, I don't like. I think the charm is going to a start line with some general ideas of what OCR is and then just doing not random shit until the finish line, but being able to be challenged by a lot of some very, very different things throughout the course. I don't want it to get silly, like party game silly, but you can do some new things once in a while just to mix it up a little bit. We had a Danish race where you had to balance a ping pong ball on like a ping pong bat through some balance obstacle. That's the dumbest thing I've ever done. You did not feel like an athlete during that. And not at all. Potato slingshots. We've done just throw a stick at something. Like it's not very athletic.
No.
I think the idea of getting this sport a bit more recognized, you don't want to show that on TV. You don't want to
No, you
show
don't want to make a
people
joke out of people.
sticks. No.
There was Rat Race in the UK, which is a really, really good brand. They went through a phase of having a few silly obstacles, like, the bouncing things and sack races. And I always thought it
Oh,
was
that's
really
dumb.
odd, like, to see an elite athlete doing that. And I'm like, you're kind of taking the piss out of them a little bit. But on the other hand, that's the kind of thing that Tough Mudder does. And so, like at World's Toughest Mudder at 3 in the morning, you've got somebody bouncing around like a little course on a hopper. And for some reason, just with their branding and the way they do it, that works, because the whole point is it's an incredibly difficult course, but they kind of make a joke out of it. So it works purely with their branding. But on the whole, like if you're having a really serious competition, to make an athlete do something really stupid, yeah, it seems a bit weird. It doesn't give much dignity to the athlete, shall we say.
No, it doesn't. It's not very TV friendly either, if you want people, other people to look at what we're doing.
And say this is a real sport.
Yeah, it would just be a gag reel instead of actual sport coverage.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Even sometimes, like when there are massive slides in courses, like sometimes we're a bit like,
Yeah, of
I
course
don't
it's
know.
fun, but an obstacle should always have an amount of, if you're good at it, you're going to do it faster.
Yeah.
You can't do that on a slide, on a, we have a race that does, yeah, a very, very big slide and a zip line.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course it's fun and it's a local race, so it makes sense. But if we had zip lining in London, right?
Yeah, so Nuclear have the death
Yeah.
slide and they have a zip line.
Yeah. And I mean, it is fun, but you can't be good at it. So I'm not sure I see the point in a competition to put it in, other than, of course, it is a little bit fun.
I think the only thing with things like the death slide or Mudderhorn. So Mudderhorn last year at World's Toughest was an incredibly high climb and a really high slide, which I was quite concerned people were going to break their ankles. And I think they did dig the pit deeper. I think the only thing there is kind of it plays on fear. So you have to have enough, you have to be brave enough to do it. And they can be quite
Or dumb
scary
enough.
or dumb enough, but that can slow you down. But then the question is, has that got anything to do with OCR? What is it testing there? And for like a big competition, a big event where there's thousands of people, then yes, absolutely, where it's like a big day. And that's what Nuclear does on the whole. They do a lot of very, very big events. But in a but again, for Tough Mudder, I can see that because it was based on Tough Guy, and Tough Guy played on fear. That was its whole point. It wasn't necessarily that difficult as a race. It played on, it was a psychological thing, and it was hell. It was the worst race ever. It was horrible. I cried every time I did it. So I can see that again for that brand.
That sounds super nice.
Oh, it was so good. It was
Just
so
paying
good.
so much money to go out on a muddy field and cry.
Yeah.
That's an amazing experience.
I'll find you a picture. It's just lots of pictures of me just like horrible, horrible, really killing your soul, but it was incredible. But yes, again, in an elite competition, what has that got to do with anything else? So does it have a place there?
We got rid of the whole electricity thing in Denmark a few years ago, because the whole point was exactly why. I mean, yeah, it hurts, but you can't be good at getting electrocuted. And of course you can get through it if you're a bit more fearless, but it doesn't take skill. So They also, for safety reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
I had a friend who almost got a heart attack in one of those. That's
Wow.
bad for the brand.
Yeah. It's more than
Yeah.
bad for the brand. Yeah, for the safety reasons, I can 100% see that. Yeah, it's an interesting question. Again, it just verges too much on the kind of silliness, and spectacle rather than skill of an
Yeah.
event. But yeah. Interesting, but then this is where, and again, this is something I say all the time, so I apologize to people who listen. There is a space out there for lots of different types of events. So, you know, everyone's getting very scared about the standardization, the 3K short course that's very good, and you know, for modern pentathlon, but that doesn't have to be all there is. You know, there can be a space for the Tough Mudders, the nucleus, the short courses, the rig races.
And that's
There's a lot of
the,
development to do.
yeah, and that's the beauty of local racing, because you get that unique experience, with like without the pressure of important competition. I mean, you obviously have competition. That's some of the hardest races I've ever done is the small local ones. But it's not important. It's not career defining. So if we have to do a potato slingshot, it's okay because it's the right frame to do those kinds of obstacles. And of course it's fun. It's super fun. And then it's okay. And it's really nice to have like the local events, the Tough Mudder that don't take themselves, of course they take themselves seriously, but they allow themselves to also be a bit silly.
Yeah.
And I think it's not a different brand of OCR, but it's under the same umbrella, but there's a place for everything. And championships, in my opinion, isn't a place for
Yes.
silliness.
Yeah.
It's good. There's another place for it.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. So going back to the Euro Championships. Tell me about how the race went for you.
The 3K is the hardest thing I've ever done. We ran maybe 100 meters before the first obstacle, and I was already in pain. It was amazing. I mean, we were pushing a little bit, shoulder shoving. We wanted to get to the obstacle first. It was a kind of narrow over under. And we were only six guys, seven, eight guys, something like that in the start heat. But I mean, it was still seconds to lose if you just touched the obstacle as the third guy.
Yeah.
There was a chance of getting, kicked down or something like that to disrupt your flow. And people are sprinting pretty hard to avoid those chances, and that's amazing. We did right after that we got into a 300 meter double ammunition box carry, those little square metal boxes, one on each shoulder, and then 300 meters. And we were already close to throwing up. I mean, I was close to throwing up there. And we were just getting started, and it was amazing. I did everything in my own head. I did flawlessly, and I got third. So I mean, I'm not fast enough, but I did the best performance I've ever done
Wow.
on any obstacle course on that championship, and that was really, really nice. I got third place last year as well, and that was mainly because the second last obstacle was a steep ramp. And it was very, very slippery. I got there as maybe the eighth runner. And then I got over it as the second guy after Jesse from Netherlands. And then there was a guy in a later heat that overtook me, or not overtook me, but had a better time than me. But this year, so sorry, my point was that last year it felt more like luck than my actual performance to get that podium spot. But this year, it felt like I earned it, and that was very nice. That's as big a victory in my book as it would have been winning. That was really nice.
That's really nice. It's kind of interesting you say that because you could say if that ramp hadn't been there, then you wouldn't have got third place. But you could say that of any obstacle. You could just mix the obstacles up and say, well, I could have come first if this had changed. I could have. The situation was you got third place because you were able to get over that ramp faster
Yeah,
than
I was
the
the
guys ahead
third
of
best.
you.
Yeah, and that's true. I was the third best runner on that course. And I mean that's also nice, but getting into that obstacle far behind in the heat, it's not the performance I want to put out. And I mean that's a little arrogant, but I spend 30 hours a week doing this, and I need to be better than 8th place.
I understand what you're saying. I'm
And I need to show that performance throughout the entire race and not just on one lucky obstacle.
Yeah, so you want the performance to be a consistent throughout and say, yep, he deserved this spot rather than it was this one thing that happened.
And I mean, I was in the lead at the championship. I was in the lead for 2.7 kilometers of the race. And then Jesse overtook me on the last few grip obstacles, and he definitely deserved to win that one. But seeing that I was for a brief time faster than him for some part of the course, that was amazing, because he won last year as well, and he is stupid fast. But I was 2.5 minutes behind him last year, and only 30 seconds behind him this year. So
That's a huge,
it's getting better.
yeah.
So maybe he's just getting older, I'm getting better. It might be a mix of it.
It's really interesting how you have more satisfaction with the result where you went from kind of leading to third than the result where you went from eighth to third. It's interesting.
I've never been good with the whole placement thing. I mean, where you finish in a field always depends on who's showing up.
Well, yeah.
And of course it's nice when everyone shows up, because then
That's
it's
never going to happen.
no. So I find more satisfaction in my own performance than placing depending on who's showing up. I still want to win, obviously. I mean that's why I do this, but it's nicer, it feels better to take that bronze medal from the best performance of my life than it would have been taking an easy win.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that. It's a good attitude to have. So, what about things like the Spartan 3K series? Have you got any interest in that?
Yes, it seemed very interesting, and I would like to try it. I get so busy
Yeah.
with, I mean, there's so many local Danish races, and I want to run them all, and I want to go out into the world and run out there as well. And it's just easier to plan a local season. I spend 40 minutes driving to race site. I race. I can be home by noon and have a nap. it's very it's easy and it's comfortable, and I mean also a little bit too comfortable, but I have to go out and try some Spartan race or something else out in the big world, but it is I'm working not full time obviously, but I work a lot and I really like my work, and it's also hard to be away from that.
Yeah.
And I've been kind of stuck in the feeling that, or the idea that if I have to race, I might as well race close than having to travel for 3 days to do a race.
Yeah.
But that's changing. I'm getting a little more bold. So it's definitely coming. I like the tournament set up for the Spartan 3K, and I really want to try it.
Yeah, it looks fun. I know there's been mixed reviews and opinions, but I'll just repeat the thing I always say, which is it's brand new. Just it's gonna take time to straighten
Needs
out,
time.
and it'll get there. So, what are your plans? What are you hoping for? What are you looking to do and achieve? What do you want?
Oh, that's a big question. It's always hard not to quote Pokemon, seeing that you want to be the best, but that is my main goal. I want to be able to look back on my career in, I don't know, 10, 15 years and say, at some point, I was the best in the world at this thing. And I mean, I'm close. I'm widening the geographical place of where I'm the best. So last year I got the title as Danish Championship, an unofficial title of Scandinavian Champion. I won, or I set the best time at the Swedish Championship, and doing pretty well in the European Championship, and slowly moving out. But there's a lot of like goals on the way to becoming world champion, obviously. And I really enjoy the process of taking it just a few steps at a time. And then when I'm old, I wanna teach. I wanna be like the old guy at the sideline saying I made the next best athlete after myself.
Absolutely. And by that point, I mean, yeah, the sport will hopefully be way more established. And it'll be weird for people to have people training them who have done it, because a lot of the athletes now are kind of making it up.
Everyone is just pulling it out their asses. We have people like the Danish field is super fun because we have people that are training as CrossFitters, people that are training as trail runners. I see myself training as an obstacle runner. Yep, I have obstacles available for my everyday training. That makes it a lot easier. But we have people that are basically doing 3 or 4 different sports competing in the same sport, and performing very close to each other, and that's kind of fun. I think, I mean, there must be one best way to train OCR, but it's very fun to see that there are so many ways to get really good at it.
Yeah. I mean, what was it John Alban used to do, or still does, even though he's doesn't do OCR anymore? He would just run up mountains and go bouldering, and that was literally it. But then again, I do think he's slightly superhuman, so
I'm telling myself the obstacles are getting too hard for him. That's why he quit. That's why,
Oh.
I have to tell myself that.
I mean, the It's
I
not
don't
true. I don't know. So I was just like, I didn't want to be. Yeah, we
Yeah.
did a. I did a podcast with him last year. I'd love to get him back, but yeah, he's on the GB trail running team, and he's not allowed to do both,
No.
which sucks. But it would be so interesting to get him back now.
Sounds like something a British person would say.
Well, no, I was going to
Yeah.
reference Lindsay and Ryan because they've kind of gone off into multi-sports and they can still come back and do the obstacles. Although, I don't know, Lindsay did a little video the other day and she's like, I've not been doing my strength. And she executed, it looked like to me, an obstacle flawlessly. But she's like, I need to work on my strength. It's like, yeah, but dude, your running is going to be insane now. Although it already was. So there's two, obviously two big world championships happening this year. There's the one that I'm most interested in, which is OCLWC, and then there's the one in Belgium as well. Are you going to be taking on either of those?
I'm doing the FISA one in Belgium. Mainly because we have an established national team now, and it's required that we do the what do they call it, the official world championship. I don't like that whole one thing or the other. I wanted to do adventure, but they've made the location a bit too silly for me. It's
Fair
a
enough.
little bit too extreme terrain. The elevation is just, I don't have enough time to acclimate if I'm going over there. I can't take that much time off work, and it feels silly to go to a competition and not have the best chances of performing. Also, it's just fucking expensive.
This sport is really expensive.
Yeah.
How does it work for Belgium for the FISO championships? If there's an established national team and you're required to take part, does that mean that they fund you to go?
No. It's just gotten harder to be a professional athlete because you're still paying for everything. You still have to do all the your training by yourself, but there's another person now telling you which distances you run. Or at least in the Danish case, there is. And it's interesting.
That's, yeah. That's weird, but okay. I
Yeah.
don't know if enough about
As
it
you
to
said,
comment, but
with a lot of other things, it's new and it's a process, and it's definitely gonna get better.
I'm not
Definitely.
sure you can tell people what to do if you're not giving them the money to do it. If you're not paying
No,
someone.
there's, well, there are some fun things with that whole setup, but it's nice to get some recognition for the sport. So the idea that we're gonna, I don't know what the word is, we're not gonna unionize. That sounds silly. We're gonna
I mean, it works.
it does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting the sport to be more official, like getting it nationally recognized, is gonna bring a lot of money into the sport. And even though it's a little bit silly now, it's gonna get it's a way to an end that's gonna be very good.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's different in different countries. I can only speak about the UK, but I know there are people in the sport in the UK who are very keen to get it recognised as a sport here because then there's funding.
Exactly.
It's you get marshals that are trained and that are paid rather than being volunteers, and that's like the part of that I am completely on the side of. And then there are parts of it that seem completely unnecessary that I don't agree with. It's like, well, yeah, let's take this bit, but we don't need the Olympics, basically.
And it's, I mean, we want all the things that are easy and are gonna make everything better, but if it's a group package, then we gotta take the whole thing.
I don't think it needs to be, though. I don't think it is. I think, I mean, I'm not going to say what I think it is because but I don't think it needs to be a group package.
No, that would be nice. Yeah, I'm not sure. But it is all right. It's brought all the athletes closer together. We're
That's
a
good.
national team of, yeah, that's nice. We're a national team of 10 men and 10 women. We're doing some joint training camps. We're gonna live together for the championship. They've arranged some housing. We're still
Oh.
paying though, but it's
Are we getting away with this?
it's made the it makes us feel like a team, and
Yeah.
during a solo sport, it's actually really nice to feel like part of an actual team.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. So there are some things moving in the right direction, but there are some things that still need a little bit of work, which is where we are in OCR full stop. Yeah.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I joined some of the meetings for the European Championship where we had to talk about some of the small rules and how we're going to do the next day regarding safety and just evaluating the day before. And it was very interesting to see how chaotic a championship actually is from the
Really?
organizer's viewpoint. Very chaotic. And it was an amazing event, and people were working an impressive amount of hours to make it work. But it's fun to see how it is behind the surface of, you know, announcements and decisions and
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've only ever worked behind the scenes of OCLWC, so I don't know. It is a lot of hours. Like, people work really hard, especially the build crew, like the switching over courses overnight. Like, there's a lot of work to do. But yeah, I don't know. I don't feel chaos, but I don't know. Maybe maybe there's a lot that I
Yeah,
don't see.
but you're the same group of people, like roughly making the doing the events year to year. The European Championships are switching country to country, and it's
Oh,
the
of
national
course,
federation
yeah.
that are doing all the work. So it's basically, I mean, it's not totally starting from scratch every time, but there are so many local
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
things.
I guess there's kind of like a group of people who are in charge who, you know, sit at the top, and then there's every year a new set of people that need to work through the process and do things. And that's going to be really difficult. But we'll make for a fun event because, like you say, it'll change countries, different people putting in new ideas. Yeah. And
It has created two very, very different championships the last 2 years. And I mean, that's cool.
Interesting for the concept of standardization, but cool for the athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is it standardization if you standardize change? I'm sorry,
The thing
that's
that is standard is that nothing can be
yeah.
counted on.
Yeah.
I had this conversation with John Alvin actually a while ago, and he had an idea of, you know, what standardization could be. And he suggested, you know, rather than having all courses that are exactly the same, do you have a list of however many obstacles that could appear and then they're picked from? Which I think is kind of what Savage does. And I really like Savage Race and what they're doing. They're really making great courses. And they do change on location, but the terrain is never silly. You know,
No.
it's never ridiculous. It's just slightly different. But you kind of, you know what could be there, and then they create the course. And I think that's a nice idea towards that. But again, it's another thing. It's just another option that exists currently, and there are so many that we need to work towards before we find which. And the final one that we get to in like 25 years' time, however long it'll be, will probably be a mix of all of these and completely unrecognizable anyway. So As long as we can enjoy it now, that's all that matters.
Exactly. As long as the process is fun,
Yeah.
then it's all right. Because I'm doing this, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 years more, tops. I'm tired.
Well, you will be if you race every weekend.
Yeah. But I mean, it is a little bit selfish, but I just want to enjoy it now. If I want to be part of it when I'm finished, I mean, then I can start to worry about where the sport is going. But for now, I'm just enjoying running in the forest and climbing stuff.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's probably the best place to be.
It is the most fun. I see race organizers that are working hard to create something that might not even exist in a few years. So it's definitely the least worrisome position, being the athlete.
I mean, I think that's the hardest thing to be as the athlete. The amount of work you have to put in and then you have to race. Oh my God, my nerves can't
You're
handle it.
missing the point. If you don't enjoy training every day, then it is a hard job. Then it's a super hard job. But I've been doing this professionally for 3 years, and it's been about 3 years and one day since I've had my last day of work.
That's great.
It never feels like, I mean, obviously I'm waking up a bit earlier than I want to some days, but it never feels like work. It's just always fun. And that I'm able to make a bit of money and w living off of just having fun every day. And I mean, of course, my body hurts and it's hard, but it's very privileged.
I love that. Awesome. Well, on that note, I think we can call it a day because that is a beautiful place to finish.
That sounds nice.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me. That was
Of
a
course.
nice broad chat, actually.
That's good. I gotta get to bed.
You do, you go. Thank you for staying up so late to talk to me. I
Of
really
course.
appreciate that.
I gotta pack. We're leaving for going on vacation tomorrow morning.
Nice. Where are
And
you going?
we're driving from Denmark all the way through Germany. And then just visiting everything from Denmark to Austria over the last 2 weeks, over the next 2 weeks, running mountains, seeing a little bit of culture, eating some different food, hopefully, and then just seeing what Europe has to offer.
Sounds amazing. Well, enjoy that very much.
Thank you.
All right. I hope to see you soon.